You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
NFL Week 3. Tucker from 66. And the Rams all over Brady. And Garoppolo snapping the ball with 12 seconds left. And Lamar with -2. And what's not right with KC? And then baseball's last week. Cardinals never lose. Red Sox pitch to Giancarlo. And then the Ryder Cup out of all the beatdowns we saw. And Kaplan and Kalischel, Gutierrez, Yates. I mean, let's just go. What are we waiting for? Go.
Come on.
Why don't you do all this stuff on the weekend? Throw a little of this stuff into Wednesday, Thursday. Mix it up a little.
I'm serious. Inside of 2 minutes yesterday, the NFL had two former MVPs trailing with the ball and a whole lot of field ahead of them and anything possible in the final second. And it happened again later in the night. Mahomes, Jackson, Rodgers, you can even throw Matt Ryan in there. They all went out that way. What a world for the NFL in week three, starting with Aaron Rodgers doing the near impossible last night. But we're going to work backwards here, all right, because Mason Crosby had the clutch kick. But before that, the two passes to Davante Adams, which were gorgeous. You'll see him right here. But what was San Francisco's defense on these plays? And before that, San Francisco's touchdown with 37 seconds left. Juszczyk almost stopped a yard short, but he was able to boulder in. But maybe that killed San Francisco. But it didn't kill him as much as Garoppolo snapping the ball here with 12 seconds left, according to the play clock graphic. And we're going to talk about this later. Maybe that's not always accurate, but Garoppolo definitely could have run off more time. And Tim Kalischel, around the horn to you. When you add it all together, did Rodgers do his magic, or did the Niners just not do enough and give it away?
No, I'm going to go with Rodgers doing his thing, doing his magic. And I got more problems with the San Francisco defense than the offense. As far as Jimmy G taking a snap with 12 seconds left on the play clock, they're outside the 10-yard line. They're not like automatic touchdown territory. And they need a touchdown, not a field goal. We saw them down there all night struggling with play calls at the 10 or inside the 10 to find something to work. They have no running backs that they really trust or no running game they trust. So I can't even fault Juszczyk for fighting his way into the end zone because they're just not there was nothing reliable to say, oh, they get to the one or two, it's going to be an automatic touchdown. You'd think 37 seconds, no timeouts, that should be okay. But San Francisco's defensive backs are so beat up right now. You saw how Adams getting open twice. That was all it took, and Aaron found
Emily Kaplan.
Yeah, look, I think this was vintage Rodgers. In that 37-second drive where he had zero timeouts, he nearly got as many yards as the Bears had their entire game. He has won 9 straight primetime games. This is why, despite all the offseason drama, the Packers just can't quit him. And from the 49ers' perspective, it's why, despite his competence, they're trying to quit Jimmy Garoppolo. And look, I think he was fine in this game, but until that final drive, did you really have faith that he was going to get it done? He really seemed to crumble under pressure. So when I look at this game, I look at the Packers, and this is Aaron Rodgers. He does his magic. And when I look at the 49ers, it's their banged up secondary. That's why they lost. It wasn't really Jimmy G, and it wasn't the clock mismanagement.
The Bears caught a little shrapnel right there. Israel Gutierrez, how did this play out last
night?
Right?
The Bears, we'll get to them in a second, Emily. But look, I look at this game, and it just makes me think of the fine details, the little things that are required to win. Because, no, you can't really blame, like, Juszczyk for not going into the end zone there. You can probably blame Jimmy Garoppolo for not, you know, whittling that clock down to 2 or 1 seconds. But you don't know what the outcome of that play was going to be if he did that. And you look at the other side and everything that has to go well for Aaron Rodgers to do that. First of all, two great YOLO-ish throws, but it was right in the middle of a weak zone defense. And then you even had an incompletion in there and still had enough time to be able to get that kickoff. And, you know, there's been three of them that I remember just from last week where it was Lamar, it was Jacoby Brissett, and it was Aaron Rodgers here. We're just setting up, getting your team down the field, doing everything right just to get in that field goal in time is just such an accomplishment that these quarterbacks, I mean, they love it and they love doing it. And obviously the kicker finished that one off.
Can you actually have a YOLO-ish throw? You only live once-ish? I mean, that kind of doesn't really...
dive. Clinton Yates, I'll bring you in here.
I think it was definitely Aaron Rodgers' magic, but it was sort of small-time magic compared to a lot of the other things we've seen, because the Niners could not convert on anything, which is a large reason why I think there's a lot to be blamed for them on this. Tim mentioned their red zone woes in terms of their inability to score. In the second half, Garoppolo's got balls flying over his head on snaps. They just did not appear to be focused enough to make all the decisions they needed to in order to beat this Packers team. What the Packers do well is they capitalize on your mistakes, because every time Aaron Rodgers gets the ball, he's going to give you a shot. They did not convert enough for me to think that even though they got up late, they really thought they were going to win that game, and Rodgers proved why he is who he is.
I'm surprised. 12 seconds on that play clock. You can run that down. You're not going to run out of time if you're the San Francisco 49ers. You might not get in the end zone. That's just the way. But you're not going to run out of time, Kalishaw.
They're on the 12-yard. They may need three or four plays at that point. They're not really even thinking on those terms yet.
We're going to move on. Where's Bill Plaschke? Where's Bill Plaschke for all his points? The Rams dismantling the Bucks. Let's talk about that. Who wants Plaschke's points? I'm ready to give them.
I was lying.
You guys get nothing. You get absolutely nothing. All right, let's go. L.A. got to Brady and put him down. And it's Tampa's first loss in 10 months. Clinton Yates, after seeing that, are you prepared to say the NFC runs through Los Angeles?
I am, and I'm prepared to say also that if nothing else, the Rams team believes that now. Did you see how excited McVay was at the end of a half after a missed field goal from the other team? He's running around pumping guys up like he's a strength coach in the SEC. They put everything together in a way, and not even all of it worked, and they handled the Bucs. DeSean Jackson got a touchdown, but he missed him. Stafford did twice on plays over the top. This could have been more explosive than it was. Not only did they get to him, Brady, from the line, they got to him, and they got to that offense from a defensive standpoint in tackling. The Rams hit hard, and you got to make sure that you got your best game to beat them. I believe that they know now that their expectations have changed. This team can get to and win the Super Bowl, not just get there.
So to answer the question, you do believe the NFC now runs through
100%.
Los Angeles. Israel Gutierrez, I'll bring you in here. And before I get to you, I'll remind everyone, Israel Gutierrez had Matthew Stafford as his preseason MVP pick. And you loved his Rams team coming in. What did you see yesterday?
Yeah, well, yesterday I saw more of that. I saw Sean McVay to Clinton's point there, excited because it seemed like his offense is working exactly the way he envisioned it, because he's got a quarterback that can make all the throws and, more importantly, see all the throws and make all the right decisions. And when you've got receivers like that, when you've got Cooper Kupp, who nobody can defend one-on-one because he's such a great route runner, you can pretty much do anything you want as an offense. And this isn't even like the Rams peaking. This is just them sort of recognizing, okay, we can do this against anybody, and they'll probably get better as the season goes along. So, yeah, I think right now you look at the Arizona Cardinals. I'll let Tim talk about them, but probably a little questionable 3-0 there. I think the Rams are the most legit here, and yeah, I'd be willing to say it right now. The NFC goes through Los Angeles.
Emily Kaplan, will you say it?
I will say it, because last year, think of all that they achieved, and they had the 22nd most efficient offense, and then they had the glow-up of the offseason going from Jared Goff to Matt Stafford. I said on Friday's show, I'll say it again, this is why he went Matthew Stafford. I know he likes that better. But this is why he went to L.A., to play on this big stage. Here he had all the celebrities in the crowd, the buzzy environment. The crowd was really great, and he outperformed Tom Brady, and he was clinical about it. Four straight drives of 75 yards or more. So this is what happens when you have a great quarterback and you put him on a great team.
Celebrities at football games have the same appeal as celebrity at like an NBA game or something like that when they're sitting on
the court.
They
have a Jumbotron that big.
Real big on the mic.
All right, Kalishaw, you're shaking your head. No, are you going to be the one to oppose the three who already said the NFC runs through L.A.?
I think we did this three times last year. Every time Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey and that defense makes a bunch of plays, everything flows through Los Angeles. Everything goes that way. I don't think now is the time to talk about Stafford and Goff and what we all said about it. I think that's kind of pointless, especially if some of us use the phrase, what's the difference when that trade was made? Let's put that aside. Here's the deal. The NFL runs through Glendale, Arizona before it gets to Los Angeles.
And you like Cardinals, Arizona more. You like what Arizona's done for three games?
Okay, they didn't play great yesterday, but you're not going to play great when you play Jacksonville. They won the game. They're 3-0, and their quarterback won't stand still in the pocket like the quarterbacks the Rams have been chasing down. He'll be on the move, and he'll make some plays, and that'll be a highly explosive, entertaining game.
One of the quarterbacks you're talking about, you know, in a put-him-down sort of way is Tom Brady, because that's who the Rams just happened to beat.
Put him down.
Kelly,
he's not going to move a lot at 74
years old. So you were more impressed by a win over the Jacksonville Jaguars by Arizona than you were the Rams over the defending Super Bowl champion.
Is this on? Is this even working? I did not say it was an impressive win over Jacksonville. I said, you're not going to do much. It was the home opener for Urban Meyer. 12 people were excited about it in Jacksonville. It's a tough game to play.
For somebody who's not saying anything, you're also saying a lot right here. Next week, we will learn more. No one's saying next week's outcome is foregone. What we're saying right now is you avoided talking about the Rams your entire answer to talk about Arizona. We're moving on. Look at the standings in the AFC West right now. No one had this one 3 weeks ago. If you had this one, show us, and maybe you host tomorrow. Broncos 3-0. People get them on who they play, Giants, Jaguars, Jets, although Tim will tell us playing the Jaguars is a huge outcome. The Raiders 3-0, they are the first team to ever start 3-0 while beating three straight teams that won 10 games or more in the previous season, so that's impressive. Chargers putting a nominee forward for win of the year at Kansas City with the way that one went down, going for it on fourth down, scoring, and giving Mahomes time, but still closing it out. And now dead last in the division for three games is KC. They're turning the ball over like blackjack dealers, Emily. So it's three games, but it's also over their last 12 games. KC is -2 in their last 12 games. So is something not right with Kansas City, Kim?
You know, I want to say that those four turnovers were really fluky. And I also want to say, well, on those interceptions, Pat Mahomes shouldn't change the way he plays because he made a career in making risky throws like that, right? Like, sometimes those just go for touchdowns. At the same time, I look at their red zone defense, and it's pretty atrocious. And then if you date back to last season, 11 of their last 14 games have been decided by one score or less. So that tells me that this team isn't as dominant as they once were, and the rest of the division's catching up.
Israel Gutierrez?
That's exactly what I was about to say, actually. The dominance has not been there from them. They've won the one game. It was against the Buffalo Bills in the AFC Championship, so it was a good game to be dominant, but they have not been dominant since effectively the start of November of last year. We're not seeing, you know, five first-quarter touchdowns from Patrick Mahomes. I'm not saying that the rest of the league is caught up. I'm saying that some of the issues with the Chiefs are just more apparent. And, you know, you see Travis Kelce is always there as an option, but Tyreek Hill, maybe teams have figured out a way to defend him a little bit better. So, yeah, I think they have some kinks to figure out as the season goes.
Quinn Yates.
The Bolts are a formidable opponent, though, in this particular situation. They played them tight last year, and they ended up winning a game that, in this situation, they kind of go for it for no reason because you're thinking, if we're going to be any good, this is the kind of game that we have to win. So the Chiefs are definitely out of sync, but I think we need to be taking a look at the advancement of another team, a young team, in this league that's actually figuring out how to win. That was a good win by that Los Angeles team.
Tim Kalishaw.
I don't think the problem is necessarily the Chiefs, and it's certainly not Mahomes throwing the occasional interception. And we remember last week, they're going to drive for the winning score, and Edwards-Helaire fumbles. That's a problem if they can't trust their young running back. However, the problem, as you addressed, is Vegas 3-0, Denver shakier 3-0, but 3-0, and the Chargers would be 3-0 if they didn't keep illegal shifting on their touchdowns against Dallas last week.
That division got a lot better. Coming up, the longest kick in NFL history.
Woo.
But week three also had the longest play possible in the sport. The 109-yard return, Jamal Agnew, kick six off of a short 68-yarder. It ties two other 109-yard returns for points. Does anybody know who had the other 109-yarders?
Cordell All I know is Patterson. Gus Johnson won that highlight.
Tim Kalishaw, yes. Cordero Patterson.
Hester.
He went 109. Anyone else know the other one?
Travis Williams.
Anybody? He did it for the kids, I would
said
say.
It.
Anybody?
Antonio
Cromartie, the other. Buy or sell next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
We talked about the two seams from Aaron Rodgers to beat San Francisco late. How about this pass from Lamar Jackson? Maybe you think it's the best pass he's ever thrown in his career when you consider time and placement. That was to pick up a fourth down. It led to the kick of all kicks from back when kicks were not just kicks, but proof of life. I mean, this is how the NFL celebrated. Yes, Justin Tucker's leg is going to be a buzz in Canton. But this is the play before it. I want to start with this. We talk about play clock graphics, how that's not always what's on the field, but this was at zero for like 2 seconds and no flag. Did Detroit get hosed here? Tim Kalashaw, how is that not a flag?
I'm afraid they did get hosed. I'm afraid. Yeah, I hate to take it away from a good Longhorn like Tucker. We all see plays where it gets to zero, and a half second later, the ball gets snapped, and we go, well, that was pretty close. That was not a half second. That was not a full second. It was more than that. The Lions have a great beef. They should not have lost.
Emily Kaplan.
You kick the hand that you were dealt, and I do think he could have made 71 yards, which is what it should have been, because if he just hit it from a different angle, this is a guy that's just been muddy his entire career. 50 straight in the fourth quarter overtime, and he has never missed a kick in the last minute.
No, he's the best ever, but
that's
how do you say that is good from 71 when it hit the crossbar?
Hit the crossbar.
Exactly.
He would have hit differently. He would have kicked it differently.
Israel?
Thank you for showing that Lamar Jackson throw, because on 4th and 19, because Justin Tucker was the ultimate thunder thief in this game, not only with the 66-yarder, but then, as you mentioned, with the sort of the bounce off the crossbar, making it even more dramatic. Yes, I'd say that was Lamar Jackson's best throw of his career, and I'm not even going to talk about Tucker anymore.
Clinton Yates.
He got the shooter's roll on a football field on a game-winning kick to win a game. You're telling me there's no way I'm downplaying that. Forget about what happened beforehand. I was watching that game with my cousins. We were jumping up and down, screaming in the house. It was that exciting. Justin Tucker, take a bow. You'll be in Canton soon.
I mean, if you watch Tucker, how he always approaches the ball, it's usually the two steps as you see every kicker take and then stepping to the side. This time he was lined up past the entire offensive line. That's how much he ran up for. It is great. We'll move on. Oh, we got to talk about rookie quarterbacks in the NFL. Oh, boy. It was a tough day for the rookies. One touchdown, 7 interceptions. Everybody threw multiple picks, except for this one, Justin Fields. And his day was not good. One total passing yard when you take sacks into consideration. And you should, because Myles Garrett, 8. He had 4.5 on his own. 9 total sacks. Fields, full line, 6 of 20, 68 yards. Matt Nagy said, it starts with me and ends with me, so he's taking the blame. He said, this is not how you wanted it to go, which I believe we all agree with. And Nagy today saying, this upcoming week, all 3 quarterbacks on roster are in play to start the game. That's how bad it was for Fields, and of course, Dalton, and Foles is the other. Emily, what is happening in Chicago?
I've been doing my boots on the ground journalist. I've been talking to lots of people, and this is what they say. They cannot believe that this is the game plan Matt Nagy rolled out. It's inexcusable. The only way they justify it is that he set Justin Fields up to fail, so he bought himself more time. And I know that sounds like a conspiracy theory.
Like
when you see a stat sheet that atrocious, you got to find something that makes sense.
Does that make sense to anybody else? Israel Gutierrez, that they set Fields up to fail purposely?
No, it's almost as if they said, okay, you're mobile, so let's not protect you as much. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, you know, with the rookie quarterback making his first start, it doesn't matter who the opponent, they're going to bring the house. Or if you have somebody like Myles Garrett, you don't have to bring the house. You can just go one-on-one against an offensive tackle and get to the quarterback whenever you want to. It was unfair to Justin Fields for this to be his first outing, and frankly, Nagy should be on the hot seat for it.
Clinton Yates.
Hey, Chicago, listen up. I've been telling you how to believe it. The guy has no plan who's the head coach. I've mentioned this for 3 weeks in a row. If he rolls that guy out, he's not going to know what to do with him. Guess what? They averaged 1.1 yards per play against the Browns, the second worst in a century. Nagy's got to go, man. He's a fraud. I told you that last week.
You're popping your peas just like you're popping your collar there, Clinton Yates. Let me ask you this. Do you believe this was a fireball offense, this one game?
I think it's a fireball offense the way he's handled everything since they managed to sign Dalton and pick him and not have a plan. Plan your work, work your plan. He's done nothing.
Like a yes. Tim Kalishaw.
This panel has put me in the uncomfortable position of defending the head coach. How do we know there wasn't a plan that might have involved a better offensive line before two key guys got hurt? And that changed everything. Also, Fields can avoid some of those sacks. That can't be all on the offensive line. Having said that, the coach wasn't good either, and they've got some problems.
It's a story maybe for later in the week, but how the rookie quarterbacks have looked so far. Whew! It's not easy to play quarterback in the NFL as a rookie. But we saw Justin Herbert last year. He didn't exactly look like these guys today. Gutierrez Yates, you're going to have a pop-off. Kaplan, okay. You pop a collar. Kalishaw, okay. I can't even tempt you with that. That's it. Gutierrez Yates, showdown. 2 minutes.
Ever since I can't remember.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The decision Alex Cora and the Red Sox made to pitch to Giancarlo Stanton this weekend. Saturday with a grand slam, and then Sunday with the eighth inning home run. Woo! New York sweeping Boston in a huge series. And in the National League, I mean, just win out, I think is a pretty good strategy for the St. Louis Cardinals. 16 straight wins in September. Who's had the bigger weekend? Israel Gutierrez.
I'm going to go with the Yankees. I feel like the Cardinals has been going for a long time, obviously 16 games. But look, the way Giancarlo Stanton is playing right now, this is MVP Stanton. If you get this kind of play going into the postseason, that's the guy you need.
Yeah, but there could still be a five-way tie in the playoff race on that side of the bracket, as we'll call it. However, the Cardinals could get hot enough to beat the Dodgers, which would be a big deal for those Major League Baseball.
How amazing is that you go into the playoffs, maybe you win 23 straight, and then you get one game to decide your wild card against the defending champs? Ryder Cup, Team USA blowing the doors off Europe. Going big in score, Dustin Johnson is 5-0-0. Going big in drive, DeChambeau. Going big in the celebration, going big in redemption with Koepka and DeChambeau. Was this so big, Clinton? It wound up being not so good because it was over so quick.
Not remotely. This is the most I've been interested in the Ryder Cup in years. You got people mending fences that are enemies. You got guys talking about old guy partying. This is tremendous.
Mm-hmm. Israel.
I know frenemies when I see one. Those two guys were not getting along whatsoever. By the way, they just did a favor to the NFL by taking the drama out and letting everybody watch football on Sunday.
I think it was the best thing they could possibly do, honestly, because 30 seconds of FaceTime goes to Clinton Yates.
I've got to say something about it on NBA Media Day that a lot of guys have come out recently talking about their vaccination status or not talking about their vaccination status. Let me tell you something. You guys aren't as smart as you think as you are. Do you trust doctors when you've got an injury? Do you trust doctors when your kids are sick? Now, all of a sudden, because of some weird mix of cowardice and egomaniacism that you can't decide that you're going to try to help everybody else, people are going to the Olympics, people are working all over the world trying to make sure that we can stay alive. Get smarter, okay, before you start telling other people what to do and not do.
See you tomorrow.